Blog Talk Radio. Hello everybody, wherever you are. My name is Marisa Calvi. I'm an author and channeler of Ascended Master Kutumi Lao Sing, and this is Soul Cafe. And we usually join together once a month to create this beautiful little safe space where we can share our wisdom with Kutumi and just to have that little time out from everyday life to breathe and connect with soul, so that we can take those beautiful energies of soul with us into everyday life. If you'd like to know a little bit more about the work that I do with Kutumi, you can go to my website at newenergywriting.com, and that's where you'll find how to buy our books. And also, too, we do lovely little soul schools, which are little online courses, and they're a really wonderful way to really deeply connect with Kutumi's wisdom and to remember yours. We've got two body schools that are up at the moment. There's an introductory school, and we're about to run our very first advanced body school, which we're very, very excited about. But the most important thing about connecting with Kutumi for me, and why we created this show and why we call it Soul Cafe, is about remembering that beautiful energy of soul that we are all born of and that we are all breathing into everyday life. So if you'd like to just join with me for a minute, we're going to take a breath. And just taking that beautiful, deep, conscious breath to remember our essence and our truth, that we are divine beings here playing with being human. And every time we stop and take that beautiful, conscious breath, every time we do that, we're allowing more and more of that beautiful creativity and that wonderful flow into our lives. We do this through the breath, because within the breath we come into this now moment. And as we feel the natural physical rhythm of our breath, we start to feel more. We feel the peace and gracefulness that is within us. And we feel the freedom of letting go of our beliefs and the structure of the world around us. And that's why we breathe. Because every time we breathe, we're saying yes to our truth. We're saying yes to soul. And we're saying yes to the beautiful creativity that's right there, just waiting to express itself. So thank you for taking a moment to do that. Now, normally, this is the time when I would welcome in Kutumi, but we're doing that tomorrow morning, so in about another 12 hours' time, you can come back and we're going to be doing that again. Today, I've got another master with me, a very dear friend of mine, Rupert Davis. Rupert lives in Bath, in England, and he is a wonderful creative being. He's a photographer. He's also an accomplished business person. And most of all, he's a soul-led being. He's been playing and connecting with soul for many years now, and it's done some wonderful things in life for him. And we're going to have a big, big chat. Now, I have got the chat room open. If you would like, you have to be sort of registered with Blog Talk Radio and log in. But if you want to ask a question of Rupert as we go along, if you want to type that in the chat room, I shall keep an eye out and I'll throw that question to him. So, but right now, I would just like to say thank you for joining us, Rupert, on a nice Saturday morning over there in England, probably a little bit warmer than it is in Australia at the moment. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Marisa. Thank you for that lovely introduction, and it's a delight to be with you. and with everyone that's joining us now or listens to this later. It's lovely to chat with you and see what we share.
Thank you. So look, we'll start off with the basic question. So I would like for you to just give us a little background, because obviously you've had a spiritual journey. You've had you've been, pursuing your spiritual side. So maybe if you could tell us a little bit about that journey and what has led you to connecting with soul.
Sure. Gosh, what a question. I know that for so many of us, many of us have been doing that for quite some time, and it really is. I think it's the biggest adventure that we can have in a body on the planet. And so to speak of one's journey is, I will definitely find a way to to summarize it and bring out some of the key points. And I suppose I would start by sharing that for me, it was kind of like an alarm went off, because it wasn't something that I was aware of initiating. It's fair to say, and I've heard a number of people say this, that I had sort of, I was aware of soul, and I felt different my whole life, but in the sense of actually setting off on a committed spiritual journey, and that becoming the focus of your life, that happened late 20s, early 30s, and it was like an alarm went off. It wasn't something that I was aware of initiating, just something automatic. And so I experienced it as an opening, and the way that showed up just felt very, it actually felt very magical at the time, and I wasn't at all, I was expecting it, although I didn't, at other levels, and so it seemed to me to be natural, and I wasn't fazed by suddenly having awarenesses, feeling things so clearly around me and within me. And that was how it started, this opening that felt magical and that felt natural, even though I didn't have a frame of reference, because I wasn't reading spiritual books. I wasn't speaking to people that were on a particular spiritual path. Although, to be fair, everyone is really, there's an element, we're spiritual beings in a body, all of us. We're all souls in a body, and in a sense, whilst people do dedicate lifetimes to particular things, we're always surrounded by spiritual people to some degree. And so for me, that then led to, I then was led to a few books, not many, and I found The Crimson Circle, which I know that many who are listening will be familiar with. I know that many of us have connected through that community of The Crimson Circle. And I remember Conversations with God was a really big kind of book for me, that, because I'd already started opening, and that just seemed to feed me so much. And then the work of Eckhart Tolle and then Crimson Circle. And one of the things that happened, the first Crimson Circle event I went to, actually, I met Norma Delaney, and which, again, I know many people will know of her. And I had my first session with her. And that started a journey and a friendship that defined my choice around making this journey one which was focused on being led by soul, and then leading with soul, and being and having a very clear and conscious relationship with soul. And so from that point, that's been the primary focus, really, which has just felt natural for me and is something that that Norma really embodies and shares so passionately, is around this relationship with soul, creating with soul, and as opposed to the mind-led way of life. And that's not to judge the mind-led way of life. It served its purposes and still has a role to play, but a secondary role. And so, you know, that through many adventures, actually, through a lot of traveling, I found myself drawn to go to a number of places around the world that I know call people when they are in their process of awakening. I spent a lot of time in Peru, in Hawaii. I also went to Siberia. That doesn't call everyone in there. part of awakening, but for some reason it did for me. It was actually the southern part around Kazakhstan and Mongolia, and other places. I lived in Australia for 4 or 5 years, and I enjoyed that. And there were some really special places there. You know, one of the great things about having a continent that's so underpopulated, relatively speaking. I think you've got about the same number of people in the country as we have in London. And, you know, there were lots of, you know, out in the countryside, which, let's face it, is, you know, 99% of the country, there are some incredible spots. And I obviously know that you will know that. So places fed me a lot. Places and spaces fed me tremendously on that journey, as did being around others who are on the same journey of becoming who they are. It's a strange journey to undertake, because and in a sense, journey isn't really the right word. We all use it, and that's fine. We know what we mean by it, but it is. It's strange. It's just letting go of everything that we aren't. And and yes, I was the places and spaces. It's kind of. I've heard other people refer to it as this, and I felt it when I was there. It's. On our journeys, which, you know, which never end, when there are certain places that we feel called to go to, they do feed us so much, and it's, you know, that's part of the support that is available for anyone that's on their awakening journey, their path back to themselves. There is endless support that's available, whether it's through other people, whether it's through the unseen teams that we have, whether it's through these sacred places, which are here to serve anyone that's choosing to come back to who they are. So that was a lot of what I did. And, you know, for quite a few years, I was kind of very much out of regular human life. I left my job as a director in an investment bank, got rid of all my belongings, didn't have that much money, and but traveled a lot, and lived very much outside of a regular human life, and then was surprised when my soul said to me, let's go back into human life. Let's not just go back, let's dive deeply into the density and into the nitty-gritty of human life because it's so wondrous. And that was an unexpected turn of events. It was easy to. I know that so many of us love to bathe in, to swim around in kind of these beautiful higher frequencies or beautiful spaces that we find when we let go of mind-led living, density, human living. And it's easy to believe that you actually need to be outside of the body, outside of regular human life in order to be in them. And then the miracle, which I found and I know is really at the core of what we want to talk about today, the miracle then is to bring all of that with you because it's who we are, and then be in regular life, be in density, be deeper. I'm much more deeply living as a human now than I ever was before. So that was the unexpected twist in the story, if you like, for me. And I'll pause for a breath there, but I hope that brings out the flavor of that journey so far.
Absolutely. So, while you catch your breath, I would like you to share with us, why would you want to connect with soul? If you were to tell someone, you can make a bit of fun thing. If you were a salesman selling soul connection to someone, no. But if someone came to you and said, like, well, okay, why do I want to connect with soul? What would you share with them?
Sure. And actually, there are some salespeople out there. But for everyone who's listening, fear not, because I'm not.
I know, you're the furthest from that, which is why I made the joke.
I know. But it's easy to do because I can answer it with my own passion. And so I suppose I would start by saying that for me, the mind-led way of life, which was predominant for me before that alarm went off inside of me, to be honest, made me depressed. And I found it was a wonderful thing that I did, and I think the demonstration that soul is always active, but it is always a part of, especially these lifetimes where we have decided to wake up and integrate all of ourselves. But the great thing for me was that my pre-awakening, if you like, part of life, I got to experience everything that this human wanted. And that took the form of, it was kind of like I would, inside of me, be aware of saying, okay, the world says this is what you do to be happy. So the world says, you know, you get qualifications at school, you go and get a degree, you have friends, you have a partner, you have career success, you have money, you then, you know, settle down, you have a couple of children, a couple of cars. And so there's a very clear, in mass consciousness, there's a very clear definition of what a happy life consists of. And I was lucky that me and soul conspired for me to have everything is off that menu of what life says makes you happy. I got in a short space of time. So, and the reason why it was a short space of time was because everything that I created in that time, within days, weeks, or months of experiencing it, I said to myself, that doesn't make me happy. Okay, move on. Next, so that didn't work. Let's try this. So they said career success would work. Let's have that. Oh, okay. Nope, I still feel, you know, empty, and life still feels a bit meaningless. I had a lot of fun, and I shared my life with wonderful people in terms of partners and friends, wonderful. But in me, there was this emptiness and this pain, really, and just wonder. Just I kind of knew, okay, none of that fulfills me, and so why connect with soul is that's the only solution for what pretty much everyone is really looking for. There isn't, you can see it in the hunger in the world at the moment. So the desperate search, and the search is becoming more and more desperate. This is, we're witnessing it. Everything you see on television is, or not everything, but many things you see on television are a demonstration of this increasing search, this more, and it's becoming more and more frantic until people will get the same learning, they'll get the same truth. This frantic search for, okay, that didn't fulfill me. I've got to find something else because there is this hole, and it's too painful to bear. So let's try mass consumerism. Okay, no, that isn't. We need a new product because that one doesn't fix me now. And so, and the search is becoming more frantic. So, but all this is, so why connect with soul? Well, to be honest, someone doesn't need to connect with soul until they feel this desire in them. And so there will be many people who are living out lives in which they're not in this lifetime going to have that deep and profound and conscious connection with soul, and that's fine. But for those who are, they will probably experience that level of dissatisfaction, lack of fulfillment, anxiety, depression. It shows up in all these ways, this emptiness, which will drive them to connect with soul. And the true answer for why ultimately we come back to our soul essence is because this is who we are. And why we connect with soul is that this is how we live naturally. It's not that we're sometimes that journey or search for soul or enlightenment or completion, sometimes it can feel like we're aspiring to something, and or that we're going for something. We're climbing a mountain, and at the top of it, here's kind of what you've achieved. But it's not really that. We're simply coming back to, we're not really achieving anything. We're simply allowing ourselves to be who we are, to live naturally how we're designed to be. And I would say that as a consequence of choosing soul, we also experience ourselves as the greatest expression of who we can be, of who we are. And so what I mean by that is that soul, in each moment where soul is completely with us and apart and consciously a part of how we are being in a moment, it will be the greatest, whatever it is, whether it's having a cup of tea or whether it's interacting with another person or whether it's what I'm doing at my desk at work in that moment. It will be soul will always make our expression in that moment the greatest it can be. Mind has a habit of limiting, of keeping us small relative to our capacity and capabilities in daily life. So why connect with soul, in summary, would be to end the pain of not being connected with soul, to be who we naturally are, to live how we naturally are designed to live, and to be the greatest version or expression of who we are in any moment.
Thank you. So, sort of expand upon that and share a bit more of your personal experience as well. Could you maybe talk about what does connecting with life and your soul creativity mean for you? And if you could maybe share talking about what that's been like with your business life and with your beautiful photography, what has connecting with life and your soul creativity, what has that allowed in your life?
Gosh, yeah, so much. I'll start with one of the turning points for me around life and soul in life was an interesting experience I had. I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago, I felt bothered with something, and as you do, as an awakening person or as a light worker, all the different words, or a New Age person, I came across the details of someone who offered sessions to. I can't remember exactly what he did, but someone in England, and he kind of like did, I don't know, clearing people's energy fields or something. And I contacted this person, and I said, you know, I'm feeling bothered with this and that, and it was an amazing, and to the credit of this healer, he said pretty much straight away. He said, okay. He said, you've been led here with under some false pretenses. He said, you know, what you're experiencing that you're bothered about, there's nothing there. But what I am being asked to share with you is that your soul is wanting to create in life with you. Your soul is wanting to express into life through you, and you're not there available for it. It was very interesting, the picture that he drew for me. He said, you've because you're so desperate to reconnect with soul, it's so unnatural for you to be living as if you're disconnected from soul. You're never truly disconnected, otherwise we're dead. But it's so unnatural for you that you've traced your way back to the space from which you were born, the space in which you came into the world, which you could call the void. And you're standing at the void and you're calling out for soul, and I'm here to tell you that soul is not going to meet you there. She's down on earth, and she's like, you know, whistling, saying, over here, come and meet me here. And that was a shock for the spiritual person who believed that I was doing everything a good spiritual person would do by leaving the body and by living out in the void, kind of, you know, waiting for soul to rescue me. And that is what a lot of spiritual teaching can initially point us towards, and it's also something that we have that's become a bit of a habit for people that have had lifetimes before, where we've lived a bit extremely as Buddhists or in India, and we've experienced extreme spiritual practices where we've gone and lived in a cave and starved ourselves to death, but in the process we've lifted out of the body and achieved enlightenment. So I had that experience, and that was a real turning point, to know that soul was right, was on earth and wanted me to be in my body, wanted me to be on earth and wanted to participate in life. He said soul wants to project herself through you, as you, into life. She wants to create things. She wants to express herself. She can't do that if you're out of your body and etc. So that was a real turning point. And
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Of course. Anytime.
I think that's been one of the greatest illusions of our spiritual journey. And I almost hate using the word soul connection, because it implies that we're separated somehow. And we're never truly separate from it. It's just our consciousness that convinces us that we're separate. So I really love that, you know, and this ideal that having to push ourselves to extremes to reconnect or to feel that part of ourselves. And yeah, do you feel that that's maybe part of just consciousness and energies, like the new energy of spirituality now, that there's a real beauty in the fact that we don't have to be extreme, that it's you know, I love, as Norma Delaney says, it's there in half a breath.
It is. It yes. But it's also fair to say that I had to it is there, but I almost had to exhaust myself. before I realized, oh right, okay, it's just here. I suppose as I reflect on that, I think that part of that was that for me, and I do see it in others, that when that alarm clock went off and the awakening started, there is so much pent up behind that. We've had maybe. Either we've had like 30, 40, 50, 60 or whatever years in this lifetime, but we've also had other lifetimes where there's been a part of us, there's been a level which has been so wanting us to know and embrace the truth. But so there's a level of frustration and passion that's waiting. And when that door opens, and I've heard some Crimson Circle material talk about the dragon of awakening, and I understood that, because when that door opens, it's kind of like something that, for very good reason, all those lifetimes we were meant to be, we were not meant to be conscious divine human beings in those lifetimes. They were meant to be how they were, but
absolutely
the frustration and the passion really built up. So when you open that door, I think that can drive us to the extremes, or for me, that drove me to those extremes. And but the relief and the joy of coming to the point where you do know that you don't have to go to those extremes, that soul never wants or needs you to go to those extremes, and that it's just right here, right now, as you say, just right here, right now. But I can see how the extremes can kind of, I think we've got to get them out of our system in a way. Well, that's been my experience.
I think they were also important too, just in our spiritual evolution as well, as part of experience, was the essence of it always was to disconnect from mass consciousness and from all those communal beliefs. So, you know, that was how we had to do it in those lifetimes without being called crazy. You kind of did it in the caves because you needed the solitude. Yeah. Where we've got, I think we should really rejoice and celebrate that we have so many more options these days.
We do. And that's the, and to be honest, it would be easy for all of us, especially that have done that before. And I suspect that most or all of the people that are on this awakening journey on the planet at this time probably have had a lifetime where they've done it in an extreme way by leaving humanity behind, their own humanity too. We could all do that. Really, we could all go to a cave and do that next week. And so we've been there, done that. And one thing soul, you know, is always keen to do is to have new experiences. But the other side to that is that we now get to see that the rejection of humanity that was necessary at those times in order to have that, in order to come back to who we knew we were, the rejection of that humanity wasn't truly loving of self. And it was fine at the time, but this has been a huge part of the real part of my journey. It was easy to wake up and go out to the void and become and experience higher frequencies. That's really easy. But the harder part, much harder part, was to embrace and love my humanness and then to participate in human life. I had a lot of resistance to being human and to regular life. And but the healing that takes place when we do choose to welcome home and love every aspect, every part of that humanness that before we rejected very harshly in other lifetimes, in other spiritual traditions, I think that's one of the greatest gifts, and that's why soul was saying to me, I'm not going to come and meet you in the void. I'm not going to be down on the planet. You've got to get in your body. And because I think that's one of the greatest gifts we achieve. And of course, you don't think of that when you start a spiritual journey. It's so ingrained in us that it's separate from human. So ingrained. It's as ingrained in consciousness at the moment as all of the major parts of Christianity are. You know, it's as ingrained as the concept of sin. It's so ingrained in us that it's a spiritual journey. It has this separation and judgment of humanity. And so for me, the way soul kind of, it was a trail of breadcrumbs or carrots, or the way soul lured me was to say, okay, let's, you know, she knew that I didn't enjoy regular life, but when she said, okay, I'm down here, come play with me, she had the idea of let's start taking pictures. I was actually traveling somewhere, and I just had this unending kind of knowing, this repetitive kind of thing about go and get a camera, go and get a camera. I couldn't do anything except I had to go and get a camera, and we started taking pictures, and I didn't really realize what was happening, but over a period of time, this became something that we were doing together. This was something that she was leading, that soul was leading. That's different from mind leading. I didn't have any agenda around what it had to be, where it was going to go. My mind wasn't trying to tell me how to take a picture. I was happy in where I was then. I was just happy to pick up the camera and take a picture the way that I was feeling to take in that moment, and that was a very soul-led way. And this became how she started to get me to doing human stuff and playing and engaging with the world. Photography really gets you to engage with the world because you have to connect with the subject of your picture, and it also makes you very present. I've spoken to lots of photographers. I've spoken to many who aren't on a spiritual journey and wouldn't understand wouldn't care or connect with lots of things that I'm saying on a mind level, but they would deeper down. Many photographers, when you speak to them, they speak in a way about, especially if they're landscape photographers or they're nature photographers, they're naturally spiritual people, that whether they speak spiritual language or not, and I actually prefer nowadays not to speak much spiritual language, but photography is a really good way. It tends to bring people into the present moment. You have to focus on this moment when you're looking through the camera. And so it was a good tool that Sol whispered to me, let's go and buy a camera, and then kept whispering to me. And so that was getting me to engage in life. It was getting me present. But it was also doing something so important of building a relationship between the human and the soul. And that, that's been the defining quality of the path that I have gone down, is this path of an ever increasing embodiment and conscious living and conscious communing, if you like, be it speaking with soul and sensing soul. And of course, we speak about soul is me, but it's fine. We talk about these things. It's like, in some ways, same thing with the word journey, same thing with soul connecting. None of this stuff is separate. But we talk about soul and human as if they're separate. Of course, they're not. Human is the creation of soul, and is soul full. The illusion is that human is not soul full. So we built and nurtured this relationship, and for the human, a great degree of trust needs to be built between human and soul, partly because of the way that we've rejected human before, and partly because human has felt very abandoned. So the experience, that illusion of not being connected with soul, which is only an illusion, human has felt that in every lifetime. In every lifetime, it's felt at some level the absence of soul, which is not true, but it's felt the absence of soul, and so it needs that relationship, and that trust needs to be built up over time. And having a shared activity, it's like any relationship, having communication, having a shared activity, sharing peace and love and compassion between each other, and the way that soul soothes the human and soothes all of these parts of us that have been frightened or lonely or scared, that soothing is what then allows them to come home, to come into balance, and what we call integration comes through that. And so the miracle of the soul-led, experience, and you asked, a part of that last question was, what does it allow? It allows everything, because the miracle of it is just how ingenious it is that it does all of these things. So, you know, what I wanted to get across was that it did so much in that it got me to be present, it got me to participate in life, it got me to start doing practical things, taking care of my, you know, the human side of life, and it got me, and then this relationship with soul was developing, and then through that, healing was naturally occurring. Didn't have to try and heal. Healing, it just happens 24/7 in every moment where soul, where we're allowing soul to be that close, where we're allowing the connection that is there, we're allowing the soul presence which is there to be there, and that, so that feeding, that healing, and then of course there's the actual creations that then blossom through it. So it is if one wanted to use a phrase that's a popular phrase in modern life, what does it give me? Soul, creating with soul and connecting with soul, it gives me a life. It gives me a life in the truest and fullest sense of those words.
Thank you.
If you wanted, we could do a little bit of breathing now, just to share that choosing to connect with soul, and just to open that door.
Yes, let's do that. Would you like to lead that? Yes, please. Go ahead. That'd be lovely.
I would love to. Thank you. So, for everyone that does that wants to join in some breathing, there's no efforting involved in breathing. But we do choose, when we do this kind of breathing, we choose to make it conscious. And we choose to make this kind of breathing not a going off to sleep, not a going off into the void, but to be clear, alert, in our bodies, being comfortable wherever we are, sitting down, lying down, standing up, being comfortable, being present, being alert, and taking deep breaths in through the nose and feeling our tummy, our belly rise as we breathe in through the nose and as we let the breath back out through the nose naturally breathing in and out, and choosing to stay alert and not efforting, but breathing consciously, breathing into my tummy, letting breath out of my tummy. And as we do that, we can invite soul to fill me. I invite soul to be here, to fill me, to let me feel her love for me. Let you feel soul's love for you. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to be anything. You can just fall back into soul's arms. Soul always, in every moment of life, she's got her arms wrapped around you. And in every moment, we can just choose to know that, to feel it, to experience, to fall back into soul's arms. She's right here, knowing that she's holding you. Breathing, and letting soul soothe. It's okay, she's right here. Soul's right here, holding you, filling you with her breath, your breath, the breath of life, the breath that you've always shared together, you and soul, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Soul has the most profound compassion for the human experience. She is in awe of you, of you, her human creation, her perfect human creation. Let you feel her awe for you, the human. Soul has so much pride and just awe for how we operate, for how the human does everything, for how creative we are in each moment. For every choice that we make, soul witnesses that as us, witnesses the choices that we make, the experiences that we have in each moment, and in awe of the human. Let me feel her compassion and her awe for you. Soul thinks we're brilliant. We can take for granted the moments of our lives, but soul knows how brilliant we are in each moment of human life. Let you feel her honor for you, the human, for everything about you, for all that you are together. Be in her arms. Let her soothe you. Let her tell you how perfect and brilliant you are. Let her love flow through you. It flows through us. It flows around us as divine grace, as this flow of golden grace. This is the grace that we are, that we're born of, that is at the core of who we are, this golden flow of grace that flows between soul and human, filling us, healing us, filling us with passion for life, passion for creating. Let soul love you, let this grace flow through you and fill you. So that you can feel the honor and the brilliance that soul holds us in. Nothing to do, just to open our hearts to grace, to soul, breathing and letting that fill my body, letting that fill my life. And soul, I invite you to fill every moment of our life, fill all of our body, fill all of our experience. Come and create fully with me, as me. Breathing deeply, soul, I give you permission to connect, to create, to love. I give you permission. And this door is always open. Soul is always here, with her arms right around you. She's always here, waiting for your invitation, waiting for that door to be open. She only needs you to invite her into your life, into your body, in order to be for that connection that is there to be experienced by us, to be realized by us. Realize is to make real. It's there, soul's always there, but for us to realize that and experience it, we need to make sure that the door is open. Breathing. Breathing deeply. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Rupert. It was beautiful. So while we're in this beautiful space that you've taken us even deeper into, you talked before about the mind-led life versus the soul-led life, and rather than making it like a little battle between them. But could you share with us what's the difference in the mind-led life and the soul-led life for you? How does each one feel? And also, too, I know because you're choosing to live soul-led, how do you know when you're being distracted by mind?
Sure, and that really leads off from the breathing, because the breathing is about opening the door, and one might say, well, I am a soul having a human experience, so why do I need to open the door? And the reason why we need to do that, and we need to consciously invite soul in, is because the nature of the mind setup is that the mind-led life closes that door. I mean, the door's always open a crack, but it pretty much closes that door, and it drowns it out. So the difference between the soul voice and the mind voice is that the mind voice, which has persuaded everyone, it's kind of told everyone who they are, you know, I'm the person that likes this, doesn't like that, you know, has these habits and peculiarities. The mind has constructed an identity for itself, and it's louder than soul. So within us, that the mind, when it's leading, will drown out soul and will pretty much kick the door shut, and there are many reasons why the mind has ended up in that position, which is an out of balance position. But there were reasons for that out of balance. The great thing that the mind led life gave us was the experience, which is why the door gets shut, was the experience of not knowing that you're a soul, and that was an experience that soul wanted. It wanted to know the experience of not being a soul, and so mind-led life gives you as many experiences, as many times around the block as you want, of the experience of not being who you are, of not being soul. But as I said earlier, that builds up ultimately so much pain because it's unnatural. It's not our natural state of being, and because of a couple of other things, because mind is actually aware that it's let's say it's fragile. There's no depth to mind. It's like the surface level of, it's like the waves on top of the ocean. And mind feels that. This is why tremendous fear is constantly moving through mind, because mind is constantly knows that it's not the real thing. So one of the differences between soul-led and mind-led living is constant fear, there's constant fear in mind-led living, and that expresses itself through a level of paranoia that is considered to be normal. So, the fact that people are so scared of other people, what do they want from me? What if someone speaks to me? What do they want? They're going to hurt me. But we've taken that to be normal. It's not normal. It's a paranoia that's this constant fear. Mind does not feel secure because it's not secure, because it's a tiny part of who we truly are, but it is a part of who we are. And so the great thing about opening that door, which is closed pretty much in a mind-led existence, is that mind can come and perform the role that it's supposed to perform of being an excellent implementation tool in human life. So, you know, my soul doesn't want to remember. I'm not so sure it's really, my soul can't remember my PIN code for the ATM. But my mind is really, that's what mind is great for doing. It remembers, I'm so overwhelmed, I don't know about anyone else, by passwords in this modern age. That's an aside. We can moan about that some other time. So my mind is actually struggling to keep up with passwords and PIN codes. But it does a much better job of things like that than soul. So the great thing about opening that door, and when we do become soul-led, as I shared earlier, I think it's normal for people to leave the mind way behind when that first happens. We shoot up into the stratosphere, but then we come back down, and we need mind in order to operate in life. Because soul then, to my great surprise, said to me that we were going to go back into business life. I mentioned earlier I was a director of an investment bank, and I left that, and I didn't think I'd be going back to work in the business world. Because mind said to me, said to me, right, we're going to go and do that again. I really had to start using my mind extensively again. And because we are doing an amazing thing of coming back down into the body and then living at one with everything, you know, as a part of regular life and using the mind and everything. It's a very courageous thing to be doing. And the way you can tell if we're, because it will happen, we can't stay perfectly balanced all the time. The Earth is not designed, it doesn't, you can't, this earthly life doesn't allow for us to stay in balance all the time. But we can quickly recognize, oh, okay, gone a bit out of balance, let's come back. And we notice that with mind pretty much because we'll start to feel, to some degree, we'll start to feel fear, we'll start to feel anxiety probably, and if we're not listening, we'll start to feel depression really. Once we've kind of started, you know, in a genuinely soul-led life, when we have those times, we have a day where we're listening to lots of mind stuff, or we make a few choices, which are really choices that come from mind, usually fear-based choices, we will notice quite quickly, that's not feeling good. That's not feeling right. Something's not right. I'm not feeling good. Because soul-led living, you will feel in a state of pretty much, broadly speaking, we'll feel at ease. We'll feel a level of joy. We'll feel a fullness. And then if we start, then mind comes in, we listen to a couple of fears, we make a couple of fear-based decisions, we will start to feel uneasy, we'll start to feel fearful rather than joyful, And those are our signals. Oh, okay, that's fine. It's happened. No problem. We can just steer the boat back. Let's take a breath with soul, and all of this starts to come back to loving me. The reason why we do all these things is because we love ourselves. We don't want to, you know, it's loving me that means that fear, because fear was the diet we lived on before. Fear and drama, and we lived on that diet, and that sustained us. But when you really start to truly love and care for all of me, I can't mm-hmm. live on a diet of fear and drama anymore. That creates pain. So love for me, which is growing all through all of this, love for me means, and love for me increases every day. And that sets the bar higher and higher every day as to what I can no longer accept. That, because mind-led living is suffering. So Buddhism equates mind-led living with suffering. They use that mm-hmm. word wonderfully. And it boils down to suffering. And the thing is that as each day I love me more, I become, the bar gets higher and higher as to, oh no, I can't suffer like that anymore. Oh no, okay. And it goes higher and higher. So we will accept less and less suffering, because the normal way to live is to accept suffering. But we accept less and less every day that we love ourselves more and more.
Thank you. Now, this will possibly be our last question. Rupert, we've had a great hour, but I want to keep going. If you're not too tired, would you mind if we have one more question?
I'm not. Oh, love
that. That's good. So, I want to throw a little spiritual buzzword at you. I mean, I'd love to share your perspective on this buzzword and what it means as part of a soul-led life. What does abundance mean to you within the soul-led life?
Yes, it's a wonderful question, and it does seem to be something that is very easy to get very tied up. That's the picture I'm getting of it at the moment, that it's very easy for people who are on such a genuine spiritual or awakening or coming back to soul path, it's very easy to get tied up with abundance, tied up in many different directions. There's kind of there are tensions that exist around it, around, well, there's a part of the being that says, why should I, I don't need to care about material things. I can be happy just with soul sitting here and breathing. And it's true, you can be happy and feel complete sitting in a park or sitting at home, breathing with soul. And yet, there are then conflicting desires around, well, but I want to experience this, or I want to do that. And let's face it, money is an enabler for many actions in life. One needs to pay money to have certain, can't get on a plane and go somewhere. Unless one's willing to, climb aboard and hide behind the wheels like some desperate people do, usually one has to buy a ticket to get on a plane and go somewhere. So money, there are many, many tensions around it. And it's easy to start judging self around abundance. People really start to judge themselves around it as well, because another competing belief is, well, if I've come to this place of knowing that I'm God, that I'm God in the sense that I'm a soul, then why can't I? So why is it that I can't have this and have that? I have this desire. Why can't I have the car I want? Why can't I live there? Why can't I? I know that I'm a creator. So there's a big tension between in knowing the truth that you're a creator, and yet that not following through in the circumstances of your life. And this is where I got tied up in it, and I see lots of people really tie themselves up in that. And it comes back to the theme that we've been that we've been talking about throughout, really, for me, which is that what I've learned through creating with soul, and that has led to abundance really coming back bigger than it was before. And I do mean abundance in the fullest sense of the terms, in the fullest sense. But one of the ways that spiritual people can also, let's be honest, one of the ways we can kid ourselves is we like to say, oh, but of course abundance, I'm not talking about money. And, you know, abundance can be abundance of lots of things, you know, abundance of relationships, abundance of, you know, of freedom, abundance of, sure. But what we let's be honest, the primary, if we're honest to the human, if we're honest about the human frustration, what we really care about with abundance is money. And the fact that we shy away from even saying, I care about money, goes to the core of the judgments that exist. So the only thing that's holding back, so once I know I'm a creator, I'm willing to embrace that I'm the creator of my life. I'm not a victim of anything. And that means if I'm experiencing poverty, I'm creating it. So when I know that I'm creating poverty, or a degree of poverty, or let's say lack, not the fullest flow of money that I do want, then the only thing that can be holding me back are a couple of things. My willingness to truly participate in life, and my beliefs and judgments around myself and my relationship with money and with earthly living. So it comes back to what I was sharing at the beginning about if really I want to be kind of at the void or kind of halfway between the void and earth, the truth is it's really difficult to create much abundance. I'm not going to starve. I'm going to have enough to get by, perhaps with the odd treat thrown in, you know. But real unlimited kind of, or let's put it this way, to live in a way where I don't feel like I'm limited in the sense of having a genuine desire for the human and not being able to fulfill it, that comes with the courageous choice to participate in life. But there are some words that I really add to it that are key. To participate in life as it is. And the common thing for people who are embracing all of this wisdom that doesn't seem to be borne out by the world around us is that the truth is they're not accepting life as it is on the planet, and then they don't want to participate with life as it is. So that is with life in all of its madness, in all of its glory. And, you know, you go to India a lot, and I know that you love it, and that's, you know, you walk down the streets there, and I haven't been there in this lifetime yet, but there's a madness in what's going on around you, and yet there's an extraordinary. You can either witness that madness and reject it as, you know, that's totally at odds with the peace I want to live in. It's totally at odds with the, you know, I can't keep my balance in that madness. Or you can, if you're willing to see through soul's eyes, you'll just see the incredible aliveness that all of that is demonstrating. And so some people go to India, and it was demonstrated in that film, what was that, Marigold Hotel. You saw, yes, the people who've seen that film, you saw this depicted brilliantly with that. There was one English woman who just was so appalled with everything that India showed her that she ran away in anger. And then there were other of the elderly people there who saw in it the amazing expression of life, and it filled them, because they opened to that, it filled them with new aliveness. And I hadn't thought of mentioning this film, But it showed that it then, filled with that aliveness, they then created abundance. So that other lady, the wonderful English actress, Dame, I've forgotten her name now, is it Maggie Smith or something? So she then takes on an active role in the hotel. And so it shows us that when we are willing, see, it comes back to this, if as a spiritual being we want to remain separate from life, let's just be honest, we're not going to have great abundance. We can have some. It's unlikely we're going to have a great flow of money. Money is one of the most grounding things on the planet. And that's why a lot of spiritual people, if they're honest, don't want to connect with it, because it's going to ground them in an instant. It's very, very grounding. It's very of the earth. It's very much, it's so embedded in earthly life. So if we want to be abundant, and soul wants nothing more, soul wants us, if I wake up, you know, if soul and I wake up and say, let's get on a plane and fly first class tomorrow, then why shouldn't I be able to do that? And it's not, I don't have to do it, but if that desire arises in me, it would be nice to say, gosh, that would be wonderful, let's go do that. And there it starts to connect with loving me. So for me, the choice for abundance also came because I could no longer suffer anymore. I couldn't put myself through the suffering of worrying about money, of only having enough, of living on the edge, what I would just encourage us to be honest about is not to justify that with spiritual beliefs. There are so many spiritual beliefs that can justify the suffering, and they are not what soul will tell you, and they are not loving and honoring the fullness of life that we, if we choose, because it's fine if we want to choose poverty for the rest of this life, but if we choose, we can experience a fuller, richer life, and soul wants nothing more than that for us. She will work with us, through us, as us, to have all of this abundance flow, but we've got to let go of all those judgments. We can't look out on the world as old energy versus new energy. So, and I'm very passionate about this, but if you see through soul's eyes, I've never, ever heard my soul or sensed my soul saying, oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, we shouldn't do this. I've never heard a single belief or judgment from her. She just wakes up and says, let's do this. How about that?
Let's play. Yeah.
But spiritual people have disconnected themselves from this flow of life, and the truth is, to be really abundant and to be really authentic and to experience myself as the full creator that I am, I need to dive into life knowing, and this is where we do need to have some compassion for ourselves, knowing that I'm not going to get lost in mass consciousness again, because that's a real fear that we might have and that we might need to see. And that I did have, and when Soul said, let's go back into business, and I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to finish up now, but when Soul said, let's go back into business, I said to her, I'm worried I'm going to be overwhelmed again, and I won't hear you again, and I'll end up mind-led again, and I'll end up in pain and depression again. And she said, that's just not going to happen. You just take... Let's do this step at a time, breath at a time. I'm not leaving you. I'm right here. And I felt her around me the whole time, so closely. And if in any moment I didn't, I could say, Soul, you still here? Yep, okay. And so we do need that compassion as we choose to be brave enough to know that as the creator that I am, there's nothing bigger than me. Mass consciousness isn't bigger than me. This thing that the spiritual belief of old energy doesn't even really exist isn't bigger than me. These judgments around money and the fact that I could be taken over with the desire to conquer the world and become totally sidetracks with wealth isn't bigger than me, it's never going to happen. So when we're soul-led, we can establish a new relationship with money, with participating in life, and we can do it freely. But we need to let go of all of these judgments and beliefs. They're not true. Do we have any time for a breath on that, or?
Yes, I was going to say I would love to finish if we could finish now on just a few minutes breathing. That would be really lovely, okay. Rupert. So I'd love for you to just do maybe 2 or 3 minutes to breathe with that. Would be just wonderful. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Of course. So making sure that we're comfortable again, settling back, and taking those deep breaths in through the nose. And knowing that soul is still right here with me, right here. She's within me, she's throughout me, she's around me. Breathing deeply, and saying to soul, soul, I choose to accept life just as it is, just as it is. So, show me the beauty and the perfection of life. Show me how you see it. Show me how you see it, for I know that you see it how it truly is. That all of the chaos and madness is just as divine as all of the peace and the beauty. Show me, soul. Show me how you see life so that I can let go and give you the fears and the judgments and the beliefs. The beliefs that have gotten in the way of me and human life. I'm willing to give you these, soul, because I love me, because I love all that I am. I'm willing to give you all of the barriers and blocks to the full flow of abundance, of living, of creating. I embrace life as it is, and I choose to step into its flow, to be surrounded in its water, knowing that you're here, soul, wrapped around me, woven through me, me with you as me. No fear of being submerged in life. We can breathe. We can breathe underwater. We're free from this. Life can be so magical. Through soul's eyes, creating with soul, life is so magical. So I'm willing to trade. You get the old beliefs, the old judgments, and the old barriers. And because I love me, I'm willing to receive your truth, your vision of life, and to be in life just as it is, the nitty-gritty, the ups and downs, in life, at one with life, at peace with life and enjoy with soul. Enjoying life with soul. I give you permission, life and soul, to create freely, abundantly. Breathing deeply. Breathing deeply. And we may need to do this kind of breathing quite a few times. Just, you know, breathing and giving soul belief after belief, judgment after judgment. We've had so many over many lifetimes that have built up, that have created separation from life, separation from abundance. But anything that comes up and tells you that you can't do this or you shouldn't do that, give it to soul, because I've never ever heard soul say anything like that. So it's an old belief or it's an old aspect. Every time it happens, we can give it to soul and we can trade it for each time one of those stones goes to soul, the river flows bigger. We give another stone, we give another boulder, the river flows bigger. And this is the river of living without fear, not fearing life or this thing, this monster that's been called mass consciousness, which is not true. It's just life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rupert. That's a beautiful way to end. I think we'll have to get you back for another show.
Anytime.
In a while, so we can talk some more. I'd love to do a show where we can talk about what it's like to actually communicate with soul and maybe go into the energies of depression and choosing joy.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later. So thank you so much.
Thank
now,
you.
If people would like to connect with you or know
sure.
a bit more about your photography, where could they find out about all that?
Thank you, Marisa. So it's a shameless plug, but the... So people can connect. My soul-led photography, which is such an incredible creation with soul that we love taking pictures and sharing them, and has turned out to be very successful. The website for that is www.newearthphotography.com, and I love to chat about just what we've done today, and I sometimes also speak at events or run the odd workshop or class or whatever you want to call it, gathering, and those I haven't done so much recently, but I do have a few coming up later this year, and those, the best way to connect is through my Facebook page, which is called Authentic Creativity by Rupert Davis, D-A-V-I-S. So Authentic Creativity by Rupert Davis is the Facebook page. You're welcome to sign up there, and, you know, for example, and, you know, a link to the show will be there, for example, and information about other classes, and otherwise, but, yeah, my photography website. And, it's been pure joy to chat with you, and thank you for inviting me to do that, Marisa. And I'd love to have that further discussion that you mentioned.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So down to our last minute. So thank you for filling up such a wonderful show for us. So please go and check out New Earth Photography. Yes, I know. Our Authentic Creativity with Rupert Davis. If you'd like to know more about my work with Kutumi, you can do that at newenergywriting.com. Kutumi and I will be back on air tomorrow morning, so in about 12 hours' time. So please come along. We'll be talking all about fear, carrying on from today too. So thank you so much for that. And we'll catch up with you soon. This has been Soul Cafe. Bye, everybody.